Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
Why do the women in our life seem to be constantly testing us? What do single men need to know about attracting that perfect partner? And what can we learn by getting in touch with our desire for women? Listen as we continue our talk with Elisa Kreitman, host of the Just for Women podcast, as she shares the female perspective on dating, relationships, and sex.
Here's an amazing example of, for me in my own life, when I did something completely mean and my partner just stood there in the face of it. So we were, you know, kissing, kind of, you know, getting into it. And he had this necklace on, this kind of, this really thin rope necklace that a friend of his, a woman, had given to him. And I'll admit it, that was in there. I actually had to admit it in the end, but this is like I'm saying, right? You got to break it down. And so there we were, and this necklace was pissing me off. I mean, every time we fooled around,
was it taunting you?
He had to like,
hey, I'm on his neck.
Yeah. Another woman gave this to him. It was blessed by the Dalai Lama and all these lamas, and he loves it. And he would, this is what he would do. It'd be in the way. So he'd hook it behind his ear. And I was like, every time I saw him do that, I was like, that kind of annoys me. But I would be like, okay, the Dalai Lama blessed it. It's really important to him. And then one day in a fit of like crazy rage, I fucking broke it. I ripped it off his neck and I broke it. And he was like,
that was his ear.
The second it popped, right? Like I froze because I was like, oh, I didn't think it would break. I wanted to break it, but I didn't think it would break, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he froze because he was like, I can't believe you just freaking broke that. And so then I started crying and I was like, oh my God, that was so mean. And here's the thing. It wasn't the necklace, right? It wasn't the necklace. It was me. I could not control my anger in that moment. And that caused some damage. It was like, holy shit, you know? Guys, women are going to be mean, but who are you going to be in the face of that meanness? So here's what he said. I think he was in shock at first, and he was like, I can't believe you did that. And so after we got through that shock, and I'm crying, and then his eyes welled up because he's like, I can't believe you were that mean. He's like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh shit, you know, I'm found out.
Character
like,
flaw.
Yeah, like, oh no, this could be it. And then he said the most amazing thing.
Which was?
And I think I fell in love with him, like, beyond. He said, you know, Elisa, you can hurt me, but you can't break me. And I was
wow,
like...
Wow, that's like some...
Because I'll tell you, unconsciously, women will try to do that. I didn't know I was trying to break him, but it was like I took one thing from him that was so important to him out of my own immaturity and inability to control my own emotions. And he just stood there, stood for it. I mean, he had his emotion. This is like the not collapsing thing. Had his emotion, had his deep piss off. I can't believe you did that. And he's like, you know what? I have a choice here too. And you can't break me. You can try, but I'm too solid for you. You have no control over how I'm going to be.
So that's not, that sounds really common. Like, take away the content of the necklace and all that. What was kind of underlying there, that urge to need to test him in that way? Can you talk about that? You're not the only woman to ever do that. So give
women
us some insight.
Women do this all the time. And
why?
Again, it goes back to that biology. Am I safe? Am I being taken care of? I'm the one that's going to take care of the baby and the food and this. And granted, come on, this is like 2008. The roles are totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women are the breadwinners, but fundamentally, again, built into our biology is, am I safe? And is he not going to leave me in my most insane moments? Because getting into the sex part of it, when you think about orgasm and what happens in orgasm, a woman and a man, you totally lose yourself. You're totally gone. Is he going to be there? And I'm saying, we're not consciously thinking this. This is unconscious. Like, I have to procreate. I have to keep humanity alive. Is this man going to be able to hold me and contain me?
This is all under the subconscious. This is in the subconscious.
Unconscious.
But she needs to know, is this guy going to be able to, is he trustable, essentially?
Yeah. In my most vulnerable moment.
Orgasm or any of those things.
Is he going to stand there? And in that moment when he said, you can, you know, do what you want, slash me, but you cannot break me, then I didn't have to test him anymore.
What did you actually feel in that moment when he didn't collapse or he didn't fold up in that moment?
Total relief. And I even said, and I was crying, and I even said this, I said, I feel like I've been trying to slash you and cut you with this knife, and you just keep standing there. And he's like, I love you, and wow, I'm just going to be here. Wow. And I was just a mess, and it was like, I've never been loved like that before. Hmm. It's amazing.
So I imagine I've been in relationships. I didn't know that this was what my woman was doing to me, testing me. It was just like, God, what a fucking pain in the ass is this? It helps me now to like kind of understand, what can he do if there's not an overt like event or situation or something? Can you help a guy out, like, to just go like, hey, what's going on? Or what can he say? Because she's not conscious of it either. She's not conscious that she's testing him, and why she's testing him.
Exactly. And here's the thing. You have to really be sensitive to, is it too much? Because...
Is it too much?
Is the woman's emotional out of controlness too much? And this is the spot I get that, like, men and women are in. It's like, how do you know? Because some people have to go and do some emotional work, maybe on their own, and not take it out on the man in the relationship. And like, yeah, how do you know what's too much? You know, what's too much is when she's not stopping and grabbing herself and saying, okay, that was mean. Like, I immediately, the second I did that, I wasn't saying to him, but that thing was pissing me off, and blaming him and blaming the necklace. I was like, holy, whoa, that was mean. And I totally apologize. And so there's a point, you know, where there's responsibility being taken, and you can actually work with it.
On both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides. Yeah, I'm just getting like that. She could be working out some of that old wound stuff. And she's not even present to who you really are in that moment. She's just continuing to project all this crap onto you.
Yeah, and I've been in relationships like that too, you know, where I was just constantly testing and not knowing why and being mean and out of control with the meanness, you know. And of course, those relationships don't last very long. But then after a while, you start to think, why do this? Why be so mean? And why not be in control of my emotions and what's going on? And you know, that's when you start reading books and getting, you know, listening to these podcast shows and listening to PhDs offering their insight and advice and tools and techniques and how to deal with high emotion intensity when it comes up in relationship, because that's the design of relationship. So number one, why are you even in this relationship? Get really conscious about that. Everything's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to come up. You want better sex? Great. Be present.
Mm-hmm.
You want better communication? Great. You're going to have to know how to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, we are not taught this stuff. It doesn't happen in grade school. It doesn't happen when we're teenagers. We'll be lucky if it happens anytime. We have to seek it out again, which is why you and I are offering these kinds of shows to people to right. really get to the heart of it. And one thing I realized recently is that I've been sort of, I like to interview people who have some kind of spiritual thing to say. Like I interviewed this woman, If the Buddha, she wrote a book called If the Buddha Married, If the Buddha Dated, Charlotte mm-hmm. Castle.
Okay.
And I realized that in our modern society, people are way more tapped in. And even though we don't necessarily think we're spiritual beings, we are. And more and more and more, we're starting to realize that there is no delineation between, oh, this is mainstream and this is spiritual. They're totally coming together. And that's really the bridge I want to cross. Because if you do want to have relationships that last, if you want to have amazing sex, you have to get tapped in to who you are, your deepest essence, all your wounds, healing your wounds. And that could be kind of spiritual, you know?
Right.
It's definitely not mainstream, sit down, eat chips, watch TV, you know, yell at each other.
Yeah, I've been in relationships where it was like that deepest part of me about how I perceive the world, like where I saw myself in it, like the being part of something much bigger. And I wasn't even part of any lineage or anything in particular, but if the person I was with didn't share, at least be able to share that that perspective existed,
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel gotten.
Yeah.
We only could go so far.
Yes.
And it was painful knowing that. We could get along day to day, blah, blah, blah. But when we didn't share that there was even a deeper perspective to take and that we can appreciate one another's, they could be different. But nonetheless, there was something much deeper. I just always felt like, we're not rooted.
Yeah.
We're not really tapped into something that's really our essence, essentially.
Yeah. And being seen, that's such a good point. I mean, fundamentally, as human beings, that's what we want. We want to be seen.
And what do you mean by being seen? Let's suss that out. Like, what does that really mean, being seen?
What are your unique gifts? Does he see anyone, man or woman? Do people see my unique gifts, you know, and are we showing them or are we sitting around waiting for someone to knock on the door to go, hey, don't you have some unique gifts in there? Or are you actively bringing them? Are you actively bringing them and then finding people, starting to hang out with people who see them and acknowledge them and, you know, have that kind of relationship?
Got it. That just feels like so, like the bottom just went boom, the building got bigger, like this. We went from living in a shack to a huge mansion. Like, this feels so much more spacious and expansive.
Which is why I'm saying, you know, we can no longer approach relationship from individual. It is way bigger. These are my individual needs. These are my individual. I mean, yeah, we're going to have our individual needs, but the context of relationship is so much bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you go up to a woman in a bar, and, you know, talk about all this, like, how do you not come off and, you know, have her or you give off the creepy vibe? Well, know that she wants to be seen. So what are you looking at? Are you noticing her? Like, is there something unique about her that you genuinely are attracted to? Are her earrings really cool? You know?
It sounds like that curiosity piece that you were talking about with the gentleman that was sitting with you and your family.
Yeah.
He was seeing you and he was inquiring about you. He wanted to see more of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And I think he would have been fine with anything. And that's what I got about that guy. You know, I could say anything. And he was so listening. And so here's another thing. If a woman is giving you details, chatting you up, giving you details, she feels safe with you.
Okay.
If she's giving you short, one word, two word, one sentence answers, change it up because she doesn't feel safe.
Okay. So not necessarily run away, but change it up. Like maybe get in touch with something a little more true for yourself. What do I really want to know about her?
Yeah.
Okay. So here you are. You have this platform. All the guys are listening. What's the one thing that pisses you off about men? I'm like, God damn it. Why can't you guys just get this? Or is there something you're really passionate about that you're like, why don't you guys just understand? You need to understand this. Are you in touch with that?
One thing that annoys the crap out of me is what we've been talking about is when I'm being myself, I'm annoyed about something, hurt about something, and a man can't give space for that. It drives me nuts.
And what do you mean? He can't give you space just to... So what is he trying to do in that space? He's trying to fix you.
Fix me, change me, help. You know, he wants to help.
Let's just be happy.
And I know that men are geared toward... And here's where women, again, can be responsible and say, honey, I just want you to listen to this. I have to vent for 5 minutes. And then if you could just hear me, that would be great. But women, you know, if you're not trained, you're not going to do that. If you haven't been studying this kind of stuff, man-woman dynamics, how to make a relationship work, you're not necessarily going to know that. So women normally are just going around being ticked off, ranting and raving. But when a man can actually hold space for that and interrupt with, what are you needing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did you want to get out of that? Then you're starting to get into like, wow, you're going to ask her questions that she hasn't even thought of herself. And that's another gift that men can give to women. Bring her to places inside of herself, her own awareness that she didn't even know. Mm-hmm. Wow, I didn't know that I liked to cook. Wow, I didn't know that I liked to play the drums. And you being genuinely interested in her, helping her delve into parts of her that she didn't even know existed. Wow, I didn't know I could be that generous. Yeah.
So holding space means being present, sitting there, not checking out, not watching the game while she's ranting. That's not going to help. But really just being there and just giving her, just listening, essentially.
Yeah, shut the game off if you can possibly do that for a minute.
If it's not a Red Sox game.
Yeah. Again, a rising and falling in the moment. If it's someone, it's the Yankees. Shut it off. Who needs to see that? Okay. And she's going off. Go up to her. Put your hand on her shoulder. Touch her hand. Sit her down. Honey,
and just be there.
What's going on? What are you needing right now? She'll probably fall apart. Women do not want to be in that crazy, rageful energy. We don't.
Hmm.
But, you know, sometimes it's uncontrollable and we do it and we make mistakes and we flip out. And the more men can be there and be there and be there without any judgment, it will pass.
I'm just getting like when I'm sitting there and if I'm trying to fix her or I'm trying to change her.
That's insulting.
That and what it's actually is like I'm not comfortable with what's going on.
Exactly.
I'm not okay with this storm or whatever's showing up in the moment. It's like, oh God, I gotta fix her. I've gotta, let's just fix the problem or whatever. But it's really my discomfort, my inability to just like, okay, here she is. And this is her thing.
Yeah, and what does a man do in that discomfort? You know, if he's finding himself completely... So what does a man do when he finds himself unable to maintain calmness in the face of his woman's high emotion? Get out. Leave the house. Go for a walk.
Okay.
Tell her, though, I need to go for a walk right now. There's nothing that says you have to stand there and engage. Self-care, you know?
Again,
this is my boundary. It's being crossed. It might not be the relationship for you, but you'll never know. You'll just stay in that crazy back and forth spin if you never take the time to go, what do I need in this moment? Can I stand here?
It has to start there. It's like put on your oxygen mask as it falls before you reach out to help someone else, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the most healthy thing that couples, individuals can do for each other is really take care of themselves. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all you really have anyway. Okay. Am I taking care of myself? And you want to develop that muscle while you're single for all the single men out there, because when you're in a relationship, my God, it's like, you know, the shit hits the fan. And
let's
it's like,
talk about that. Like I'm celibate by choice, you know, and I've been single or whatever. Like what? So, all right, I'm in this place. I'm trying to find this person, but I can be doing something now to prepare myself for being in relationship. What should this guy be doing?
Practice finding joy in everything. Practice boundaries with coworkers, other women, sisters.
What do you mean by that? It's practice like, hey, that's not okay what you just did.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, when you did X, I felt Y. You know, when you cut me off right there, I felt like you weren't really listening to me. Practice, 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 because that will help you find the kind of woman who's going to be a great partner for you in a relationship that's going to last, you know, as long as you want it to last. Mm. And I tell that to women too, you know, develop those muscles of asking for what you want now with the men in your life. So you can, when you're in a relationship and you need something from your partner and you feel intimidated, that you can ask him for that. And so for men, same thing. Practice holding space for your sister when she's out of control. Practice holding space for your coworker when she's crying. You know, practice asking, hey, Is there something that you need?
I love that whole thing because everyone, I think there's by and large, there's a huge belief that, well, I'm miserable now, I'm single, so the relationship is going to solve all of those problems. And therefore, whatever I'm feeling now isn't part of it. No, it'll be the relationship that's going to solve this. And you're saying,
Absolutely. No.
Get centered now, get your thing. And then, yes, it can be even better possibly when you're in relationship.
Yeah, there's a woman who has a blog. It's called My Happy Single Life. And she's nailed it. That's exactly it. You have to have a happy single life if you want to have a happy relationship. I mean, it just makes sense. You're doing your portion of bringing happiness to the relationship.
And I just imagine that feeds right into the thing that we were talking about early on. I'm happy. I've got a sense of peace and wholeness about me. And then I can walk up to a woman in a cafe or something, and they've sensed that. There's not that neediness, that kind of like, and he's trying to get something from me thing.
Absolutely. I've definitely been in situations where I know this man wants probably sex or some kind of attention. He wants attention, you know, instead of giving me the attention that I've been craving all day because I've been tracking 8,000 things. Like, it's the struggle for attention, right? Mm. That's just like kind of a waste of time.
Okay.
I've also had experiences where I've been in a club dancing with my girlfriends and guys would just come and just come right in, dance with us, not ask, you know, just kind of
just start rubbing his pelvis against you.
Yeah. That's one thing that pisses me off.
Okay,
you ask
there
me
we
what
go.
Pisses me off. That pisses me off. Intrusion.
How's it going? You mind if I just fuck your hip for a while here?
Yeah. That whole intruder alert. It's like,
is the AC coming up behind me? Oh shit.
Don't do that.
All right, guys, quit going up and grinding up on Elisa at the clubs.
No hip humping. You know, we're there to dance. Like, clearly I'm there to dance with my girlfriends. Ask. And be all right that if I say no, I just want to dance with my girlfriends.
Well, what's happening there? He's apparently just completely unaware that you're in your own space and having your own time. He's assuming what? He's assuming that it's okay to...
He's assuming that how he's being is something that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It might not be.
So he's taking charge, but not in the way that a woman would like for him to take charge necessarily, in that masculine way.
Absolutely. There's a grace and a point where a man can take charge. I'll give you another example of what this ended immediately. A man I was dating. We had this nice dinner in my favorite restaurant, totally raw food, yummy, yummy, yummy. Like, you know, you eat healthy food, you get really high. Mm-hmm. And so we're like walk in back to the car. I think it was our second date. And I'm like, oh, he's kind of cute. Yeah, he's really, I'm kind of digging on him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a neighborhood that was kind of not the most safe neighborhood. So I was like, cool, I'm with a big guy. But because of that, you know, I was kind of scanning. It's just natural. I can't help it. I'm just kind of scanning. All of a sudden, he throws me against a chain link fence. Just out of nowhere, throws me against a chain
link. Take your wallet?
And I get that he was trying to do that, like, take charge, kind of like, I'm going to take you now.
I read a David Data book and I'm going to throw up against the fence now.
Yes. Way of the superior idiot, you know, and throws me. And I was like, I was so freaked out. I was like, you know, and he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like, clearly my reaction was not one that he wanted. You know, I'm like, here we are in a kind of dangerous neighborhood after a really kind of light, flowy time. It was just so not the right timing.
And four guys probably was in a mid circle and his guys are like challenging him on owning more of his desire.
I know. And I get that it's not easy. I get that it's not easy. But it totally didn't work. And he definitely recovered. And he was like, well, I'm really sorry. I get that, you know, I wasn't meaning to scare you or freak you out.
That was a relationship killer. It was over.
It started to be the downfall. He couldn't hold it. He couldn't just let it go. Then he started getting weird in the car. I think he was making himself wrong. It's like, okay, he made a mistake. That clearly scared me and didn't open me. He could have just come right back, but he was gone for the rest of the night. And so date over, you know?
Okay.
He couldn't recover. So recovery time. Like, hey, if you screw up, love yourself enough to be like, all right, I screwed up.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
What are, in all of your interviews and studies and things that you're doing, what's not being said to men about what's going on in the bedroom? What are guys missing in the bedroom that women are talking about behind their backs? Like, God, guys just don't get this, and guys just don't get that.
Same thing, presents.
Oh, come on.
Same thing. That's why I'm saying you have to practice.
So what's he doing in that moment? Help us to, because the guy's like, well, I'm present. Yeah, I'm watching the, you know, ceiling fan or something. Or what's he?
He's trying to produce a result.
Oh. And which result would that be?
See, again, he's trying to produce a result. Whether you're in a bar, in a cafe, if you're in the mode of trying to produce something, make her laugh, whatever, instead of just organically being in the moment, good luck. You know, it's a lot harder of a road than if you're present in the bedroom.
Just going with the flow.
Feeling, touching, inquiring, asking, what's happening now? I mean, talk about building orgasm. A woman's orgasm is all over the place. It's never going to be the same ever, right. You know? And every experience is just an organic moment by moment. This feels good here now. This doesn't feel good. This feels good. And then depending on how a woman is feeling in her cycle, maybe her body's feeling really sensitive because she's about to have her period, or maybe she's feeling really racy. It's never going to be the same experience twice. So you constantly have to approach sex and anything that you're doing in the bedroom from a moment by moment experience and what's happening, and be able to shift and turn and move however it's going
to
go.
And guys are attached to the result being whether she has an orgasm, he did the right job, he did it right, or whatever like that. And it keeps him from being able to be flexible and just in the moment with her.
Yeah, you want to know what else pisses me off?
Yes.
When a man is like, did you come? It's like, what the? Were you not here? You know? What? No, I did it. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if guys could just stop saying that and ask the questions way before, you know,
ask what questions before? What are you talking about?
How does this feel? Do you like this? Do you want softer?
Mm-hmm.
Harder? And I'm not saying like talk it to death,
yeah,
but like that finesse of
you like
really
this,
tapping in. What do you want? I'm going to kick you.
Do you like the
one
microphone?
One more, and I'm going to kick you. I'm trying to give men good advice here.
I get
that's
that.
What
you
pisses
are.
Me off.
You are.
when I'm not taken seriously.
Yeah. Not take it seriously. So being present, staying in there, it's staying in the moment, not attached to like, I got to get a phone number, I got to fix her, and I got to make her come. Like just staying with her.
Yeah, and you do have to make her come, but it's how you do it. How's that? This whole thing is about not grabbing, globbing onto the one idea and doing it that way. It's like, no.
Sorry,
no.
Guys. I tried to help you. I think we just got muddied the water even more.
But isn't that the beautiful thing?
It is.
You know, just the amazing organicness of being in the moment and bringing your heart and your true desire to want to produce a result. Yeah. And women want to get off, you know.
But how sexy is a guy's desire? Guys are kind of like, oh, I feel kind of, I can see where guys just shut off their desire or whatever. What's your experience with men and how they are in touch with their desire?
Well, when I'm with a man who's in touch with his desire, and I really encourage this in my partner, and I'm starting to reap the benefits of allowing him to tap into his creative expression, because it's so enlivening.
And we're not just talking about sex here. Like, this is for the world.
No, but it leads to sex, because it's so hot when a man is in touch with his desire, whatever it is, which is why we want men to be passionate about whatever they're doing, because it's hot. It turns us on. It's like, oh, that's your unique thing. Racquetball or snowboarding or, I don't know, making model air, but like whatever it is. If a man is passionate about something, it's hot. And why that is because we get to sort of relax and see who this person is. We want to know that we don't have to bring everything, encourage everything. And why men lose touch with their desire, I don't know. If men are really experiencing that, I would have them really look and see what is that, because we're here to desire things. That's how we find out who we are. I like this. I don't like this. I want that. I don't want that. It's not like we have to have everything, especially if we're in a committed relationship and we're desiring another woman. It's like, okay, do something with that energy. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of this is about energy, the emotional energy, how to flow that, knowing when to go for a walk, especially when you get back into the bedroom, you know, flowing with the intense buildup of orgasm and being able to maintain yourself in that place. And so, yeah, do the work.
Okay. I think that's a huge one because I see lots of guys that they kink off one part of themselves and then they, all of it suffers essentially. What women are feeling, what they're not feeling, the desire, the whole thing. So,
yeah, and I know in our society, men have gotten such a bad rap with not being supported in feeling their emotions and feeling their feelings and having desire. And I just want to say, forget that. Let that go. You know, start tapping into it. You'll find the women and the people who can support you. But when you're cutting that off, it cuts everybody off. It cuts everything off because it's not natural. It's not natural to not emote. And how we got in our society to be like that is really detrimental to the positive inner relating of society as a whole. And we need to dispel that. And that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. And I'm imagining like what, how to step forward with that is that get some guys around you, men, that you trust and women too, that you trust and start fucking up.
Like yes.
Let them hold space for you to fuck up and be an idiot or whatever and feel what it's like to be healthy in expressing desire and then what's not so healthy and get feedback around that. But just start working around it. I wouldn't try to do it just by myself. It really does take some help from friends and being supported in that way. Get the feedback.
Yeah, I mean, however it goes, I think tapping into your deep sorrow, I mean, I coach people all the time in getting in touch with their deep sorrow and what that is. And it can look like, you know, being in a coaching session. But I also give people, you know, go home and journal. Go home and start tapping into this. Go home and meditate. Mm-hmm. Stop your mind from, you know, spinning so much. But have that sacred time for yourself. Go for a walk. So it can be alone. It can be with men. It can be with women. But just start.
Just start.
You know?
Great.
Yeah.
Great. All right, what else? Anything else to wrap it up here that you have to tell men?
There's no formula.
Thank you.
There's no formula. See yourself, honor yourself, honor all the range of emotions that you have. That's access to getting everything that you want in your life for yourself and with women.
Beautiful. Elisa, thank you so much for coming in. I had a blast talking with you today.
Thank you. Me too. Me too. Can I plug my show?
Absolutely. Where and how do we find your show?
So my show is called Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. It's on the Personal Life Media Network. And I blog there. And I have to tell you, people can email me. I get a lot of emails from men.
Great.
And I get that men really want to know about women, understand what an empowered woman is looking for and wanting. And so I really appreciate that because that tells me that there's lots of guys out there who are actually doing the work and who want to know and who are taking this to heart. So men, listen to my show, you know, again.
Excellent. And that's on Personal Life Media Network. What's the web address there?
PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Okay.
And then my show is Just for Women.
Just for Women.
Yeah.
Elisa Kreitman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Trip.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Join us next week as we talk to Brian Baer, co-founder of the Authentic Man Program, about how men can master the art of relating with women.